I give you a new commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You should love one another. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You should love one another. John chapter 13 and verse 34. There are times in our lives when we do not know what to do. There are times when things become so catastrophic that the everyday ordinary responsibilities of life no longer seem important. Have you ever had crisis break into your life that made it impossible to think about anything else? Most of us have had such an experience. Maybe the death of a loved one, the failure of a marriage, a dream unfulfilled, loss of health, a hope broken, the premature departure of a child from home, and all events that have the power to undermine our ability to get on with the normal responsibilities of life. Anyone who has ever lost a loved one knows how dominating that experience can be. In the days that follow the death of a significant other, the fact of that death is the first thing that is thought about in the morning, and often the last thing thought about before sleep finally comes at the end of the day. The crisis then creeps into such situations, the moment trigger introspection. In the 13th chapter of St. John's Gospel, we find our Lord's instructions to the disciples who have become so confused about what they heard from the Lord. Jesus had gathered his friends together in the upper room. His departure is imminent. Death leans against the door, demanding to be satisfied. Inside the room, death is assisted by a conspirator. One of you will betray me, Jesus says. The disciples, already in a state of apprehension and confusion, are further shaken by this revelation. Something catastrophic is about to happen. In the face of that fact, the focus of the disciples' energy shifts to themselves. Who is it? Is it I? Am I the one who will fail when the testing times come? The disciples began to wonder about its meaning, or the lack of meaning. The ordinary things seem no longer significant. What do you do in the midst of such life-changing, disturbing revelations? Being confronted with the news of his death, the death of their friend and teacher, being confronted with the news of their own potential infidelity, one of you will betray me. The disciples wondered what it all meant. But Jesus moved quickly to call them to focus their energy not on the catastrophic nature of his death, or the disturbing revelation about their lack of dependability. But Jesus rather imparted profound teaching. Instead, he called them quickly out of and beyond their introspection to focus their attention and energy on others. A new commandment I give to you. Love one another even as I have loved you. People of God, this is not just a set of words, but a transformative principle that can guide them through the most challenging times in their lives. I think at first, the disciples might have been perplexed by this commandment. How could they love as Jesus loved, especially in the face of such impending tragedy? But as they pondered over his words, they realized that thus was the key to overcoming their fear and confusion. This was the path to true discipleship. The old commandment, love one another, has now become new because it is now rooted in and shaped by Jesus' own love, since he loved them to the end. So just when everything seems to be falling apart and they were becoming apprehensive, he showed them affection and spoke to them of this profound responsibility. Just when they saw how frail and weak life was, and how feeble and weak their own abilities to live up to their promises were, he called them to acts of greatness, and that which identifies the true marks of a discipleship: love one another, even as I have loved you. Thus, it's not an abstract instruction that is being given. Instead, it is a commandment to do something. Love is something to do. It was not just love, but that love one another, Jesus said, even as I have loved you. Love one another as I have loved you. When help fails, when life leads us through some valley or disappointment, when we are confronted with the evidence of people's inhumanity, when friends disappoint us and life leads us down the road we never plan to travel, the Lord calls us to love one another, even as he has loved us. And that is precisely what he did, even to the end. He loved his friends, and he even loved his enemies as well. He prayed for those who were his persecutors and detractors. He asked forgiveness for his executioners. It is unfortunate but true that many in the church believe that love is simply something we feel. But Christ's love goes beyond the feeling and introspection to some kind of doing and a living commitment. He showed his love to the extent that he died on the cross for us. While we were yet sinners, Jesus died for us. He did not count that against us. He didn't say that, oh, these people spit on me or spat on me. He didn't say that these people did this to me. He forgave them. Love one another, Jesus said, even as I have loved you. Making the Lord's love visible in the world will not be easy. This is not an easy thing that we are called to do. It means that we must love the stranger. It means that we must love the enemy. It means that we must love those who hurt or betray us. Difficult, isn't it? Difficult. But these are precisely the kind of people that Jesus loved when he loved his disciples. These are precisely the kind of people that Jesus loved or loves when he loves me, when he loves me, and when he loves me. His love never gives up on us. That love never quits. So this morning, Southgate people, whatever Southgate Methodist Church is about, it must be a place of love. Are you here? It must be a place of love. It must be a place of love where people encounter the love of God for them, where people feel loved and accepted for who they are without judgment, where people are free to express love for others where love, where we love one another irrespective of their religion, irrespective of their race, irrespective of their social class, gender, ethnicity, sexual orientation, Jesus says we should love. Love one another as I have loved you. In our reading from Acts, which we didn't read, is one of the Acts readings that was set for us today. Acts chapter 11 and verse 3, verse 1 to 3, which talks about Peter going into Joppa and, you know, doing some wonder works in there. And let me read a bit to you. Now the news traveled fast, and in no time, the leaders and friends back in Jerusalem heard about it. Heard that the non-Jewish outsiders were now in. When Peter got back to Jerusalem, some of his old associates, concerned about circumcision, called him on the carpet. What do you think you are doing? Rubbing shoulders with the crowd, eating with what is prohibited, and ruining our good name. Peter had gone to celebrate with people who had become new converts. And the disciples in Jerusalem were angry. They are not part of us. They don't belong to us. Why do you have to go and mingle with them? These are not the people that you should mingle with. And sometimes it is like that. I have been to places where people, you know, sometimes they group, you know, they sit somewhere. When others are sitting, getting closer to them, they move a seat further away from them. It happens in churches. Sometimes people look at people's faces before they give their hands to be, I hope it's not in this church, yeah? No, we don't do that in this church. We don't do that in this church. Because we are to love one another as another, Jesus said, even as I have loved you. This type of love that Jesus was referring to has the same connotations as how Paul expresses it aesthetically in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And I'm reading a few verses of that again from the Message Bible, which was written by Eugene Peterson. It says, if I speak with human eloquence, listen, and an angelic ecstasy, but don't love, I am nothing but the creaking of a rusty gate. If I speak God's word with power, revealing all his mysteries and making everything plain as day, and if I have faith that says to a mountain, jump, and it jumps, but I don't love, I am nothing. I am nothing. If I give everything I owe to the poor, sometimes, oh, let us collect the food and give it to the poor. Sometimes it's just about wanting the poor to have food because if you don't want them to even come closer to you, right? When Eugene Peterson puts it nicely again, he says, if I give everything I owe to the poor, and even go to the state of being burned as a martyr, but I don't love, I have gotten nowhere. So no matter what I say, what I believe, and what I do, I am bankrupt without love. I am bankrupt without love. Love, Eugene Peterson says, never gives up. Love, he cares for more for others than self. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have, right? Love doesn't have a swelled head. Love doesn't force itself on others. It isn't always me first, right? Love doesn't fly off the handle. It doesn't keep score of the sins of others. It doesn't take pleasure in the flowering of the truth. It puts up with everything. Trust God always. Always look for the best in others and never looks back. But keeps going to the end. Love never dies. That is what Eugene Peterson says. And you know, when Paul wrote this 1 Corinthians chapter 13 to the church at Corinth, The church had become so fractured. I know we use this passage during weddings, and yes, it's good to read them at weddings, but Paul wrote to a church that was so fractured. Yeah? A church that were fighting for attention, power, while more serious issues were being ignored. They were boasting about their wisdom and knowledge, but Paul eventually pointed out to them that love is the most important spiritual gift that they need to fight for. So if we are to fight for anything in this church, we are going to fight for love. We want love to prevail. I want to love you, and I want you to love me. Irrespective, regardless of where we are, or who we are, and where we are coming from. And the love that I'm talking about this morning is sacrificial. It's sacrificial. This love is not conditional. This love is practical. This love is practical. It gives us a new commandment. Love one another, even as I have loved you. As we come to the table of the Lord this morning, we come knowing very well that this man gave himself up for us. His body was broken into pieces because of me and because of you. But he still loved us. So we come to the table this morning knowing that because this man loved me, I am also going to love others. He loved us. He gave himself for us. Love one another as I have loved you. So we are going out there to show this love to everyone. In our workplaces, in our homes, in our communities. Sometimes somebody said to me, sometimes you meet people and you want to be say hello to them. Just hello. And sometimes you can see how they will look at you. They start from your, and then look up at you again. And maybe the person is a member of this church. No, no, you are not here. Right? Let us love one another as the Lord has loved us. Amen.
Amen.